Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamateur Hour. I'm Bamateur John. We have Will Kay on this episode. Today, we're going to discuss news notes and other rumors and items of interest about the Alabama football program as they enter fall camp. We'll give you an update on the QB battle to see who's going to be the starter, and we'll give you lots of other good notes and tidbits on this episode. I am Bama John. Today is Wednesday, August 6, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you all for tuning in. We have over 2,300 subscribers now to our YouTube channel and still growing, and thank you to all you who watch us on our YouTube channel or also who are watching and streaming us through other various platforms such as Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, iHeart Podcast, Spotify Podcast Index, RSS, and the like. So thank you. Thank you. Will Kay, how are you today?
Doing well. Hump day.
Hump day.
Can't ask for anything better.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Do you have some tidbits and notes to share? Anything in particular you want to jump off with, or do you want to jump into the items that we've got laid out?
There was a video of Ty Simpson making a pass to Ryan Williams in practice that people got upset about. But I think what it was like a fake screen, but he kind of had to throw it behind him a little bit because if he threw it in stride, it would have been intercepted. So I think that he was instructed to do so. But I saw some people online were like, oh, he's thrown behind him. I don't know if he's going to be the guy, you know. But I think that it was something that was instructed and that he did on purpose. So
it was good coverage by the defense. And he.
No, it was, there was no defense. It was just Ty Simpson, you know, passing, you know.
Like back shoulder and making him adjust, that type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other news or tidbits before we jump into the agenda for today?
Nothing that stands out really.
All right. Well, let's jump in here. All right. Here we go. Let's see here. All right. Let's jump in here. All right. Here are the news and notes of the day. Number one, these are all the various items we're going to jump into, including the hot item of the day, the QB battle. We're going to talk about the fall scrimmages. We're going to look at the coaches poll, preseason coaches poll. We're going to do some injury updates, other player updates, a little bit of recruiting news, some team concerns, and other miscellaneous items. All right, number one. All right, Will, you want to spill the beans here about the quarterback battle?
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, a secret, but Ty Simpson should be the starter at first. I think Austin Mack has taken some reps at one, but that's, what does that even mean? It'll be Ty Simpson to start the year, see how he plays against Florida State. He's also got to play another Power 5 team in Wisconsin. I don't know how good they'll be, but they are a Power 5 Big Ten team, so they'll have a little bit of talent. And then he's got to play those two teams before Georgia, and that'll be the real battle, the real test, first SEC opener in Athens. I don't know how many years it's been since Georgia has lost a game there, but it's been a while. So it'll be that'll be the test. But yeah, for now it'll be Ty Simpson.
I believe they've won 55 straight games over in Athens between the hedges, but it's a
And
large
how
number.
many home games I play a year? Eight? No.
Well, let's call it seven. Let's call it at least seven.
That's almost 8 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time since they've lost at home. And I remember Alabama going in there with Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was a freshman, and we beat the brains in, and that was one of the great games
You mean
when
Minka
Alabama did.
Fitzpatrick?
I mean Minka Fitzpatrick, yeah, not Ryan Fitzpatrick, Minka. You know,
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick could be Minka's dad for all we know. But anyway, I'm
Yeah.
just kidding. But anyway, Ryan's much older than Minka. But yeah, Minka went in there and had a great game. That was quite the. So the one note that I will add to the Ty Simpson still being the one for now is that Ty is only running with the ones and twos, and he is not working with the threes. The other
Yeah.
two guys, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, are working with the twos, threes. I don't even know if they go to four deep anywhere, but Ty is only running with the ones and the twos. So still Ty's, he's still running with the ones. He leads off in every drill, and it's his job to lose at this point, but we want them all to develop. So that's the Bama quarterback update. Next thing are the fall scrimmages. We have a scrimmage this Saturday, and then there's one the following Saturday on the 16th. I think we'll know a lot more after the scrimmages, depending on what they show, what they allow to leak out, how much they let the press see everything, and what happens. But I think we're going to learn a lot in these two scrimmages. Comments, thoughts about the scrimmages?
Yeah, absolutely. The scrimmages matter. I don't know how you get if you can get access to see that, but if they'll have it on video somewhere, I'm sure there'll be some snippets somewhere. But yeah, that'll show a lot.
I'm anxious to see what comes out of that and who gets to actually watch it and what they're going to share and how much of it's behind closed doors versus how much the press gets to cover. But we'll see more on that probably Sunday, Monday in a podcast after the information, news, and video is out. Next thing is the coaches poll. So they've got Alabama at 8 in the preseason coaches poll. I think that's fair. I think given the unknown of the quarterback, I think the unknown of the defensive line and the offensive line, I think 8's good. I'm happy to start there and earn our way up the poll. Certainly I like where we are. I like what's coming back, but our quarterback is a question mark. And given that we didn't have great quarterback play to end the season last year, I'm fine with that. Note that we play two teams that are in the preseason top 10. We go to Georgia and we get LSU here. So that's pretty tough to have to play two of the top 10 teams in there. Some of the other notables on our schedule didn't make this preseason top 10. I think Miami may be overrated. I'm not sold on Miami. I feel really good about the other nine teams in there as likely to be high quality teams. I am going to make a statement about LSU. LSU went heavy into the transfer portal this year. Last year, teams that went heavy into the transfer portal but also didn't have a heavy load of returning players and also didn't recruit well, didn't do well, with Indiana really being the only team that made the playoffs that went heavy into the transfer portal and relied on them at key positions to make the playoffs. And they flamed out first round. They didn't do well in the playoffs. So I want to see how LSU does. I want to see how Miami does. I want to see how Texas Tech do, because they all went heavy in the transfer portal and brought in a bunch of guys, spent a bunch of money to try to shore up their teams. I think when you invest in the transfer portal, it's really a 2-year payoff, not a payoff in year one if you're relying on a bunch of transfer guys to shore up your team. Granted, if you can hit on two, three, four key players like Ohio State did as a quarterback, with an All-American safety, you can do it. But I think when you're looking for 6, 8, 10, 12 guys from the transfer portal to shore up your team and expecting to just throw it in the microwave, heat it up, and get a great result in year one, I think those guys, I don't think they're going to pay off. Look at what Clemson did last year. They didn't do much in the transfer portal. Look where Clemson is this year. Just those comments. All right, Will, floor is yours. Talk about the preseason, react to my comments that I made about transfer portal versus recruiting. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I think eight's about right. I don't know how good Notre Dame is going to be. I mean, we'll see. But and LSU, I think that once again, they are overrated. I mean, everybody's like so high on them with Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, he wasn't even that great last year. I went 9-4. We beat them 42, and they
To
scored a late
seven.
touchdown in
Yep,
that
42-7.
game. It was like 42-6, and that was in Death Valley. Garrett Nussmeier is the kind of quarterback that plays into our type of, our type of play. Not very mobile. I think that LSU, I don't see it. I don't think Garrett Nussmeier is going to be all that. Texas at one, they'll be really good. Arch Manning, obviously, he has a lot of potential, but at the same time, haven't seen him play a lot. I do think that one is good, but I could see them. I mean, they might be 0-1 after week one. Out of these 10 teams, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, and Texas. Two of those teams are going to have a loss after week one because they play each other.
Yeah, and you can lose two games and still make the playoffs. You can't lose three, but you can lose two. I did want to say a couple things about LSU. I'll jump in and I'm going to give the floor back to you. Number one, Nussmeier had three turnovers in that game, but he put up a lot of yards. They moved the ball. Alabama had a bend but don't break defense in that LSU win. It could have been a lot closer than it was because they had two turnovers as they got into the red zone, and then he had that situation where they had the sack, strip, fumble recovery. That was really costly for them. But that game was a tight game. And now, granted, they couldn't stop us. We ran it down their throat.
I
But
mean,
that.
you say that, oh, this happened and that happened, but like it did happen. It was 42-6 with a minute in the fourth quarter left.
Yeah, but
42 to
they could
six.
have cashed in. They could have cashed in and gotten at least an additional 21 points. We got that touchdown off of that turnover where Nussmeier just thought he could outrun the guy
Turnovers
that
are
was
part of the
chasing him down.
game.
Well, I understand that. I'm just telling you, it was a razor-thin margin, and there were some plays just because he moved the ball. He threw the ball well. Their offense went up and down the field. They just couldn't punch it in very easily. I'm just telling you, it was a lot closer than it appeared, and we just capitalized, and our offense was very, and their defense was terrible. I saw guys trying to tackle Milroe. I went back and watched that film, and two guys ran into each other trying to tackle Milroe. And it was like, what is this, the Three Stooges? So, and if Nussmeier, and I'm just giving you the upside potential of LSU, but again, I banged on them to think that the transfer portal is going to lift them up that much. I'm skeptical. But can Nussmeier make the jump that Joe Burrow did? Maybe, maybe not. If he does, and again, at least they've got stability at the quarterback position. They could be really tough, but I like playing them here. We're going to beat them here, I think. I'm glad that game's here, not in Death Valley. But I just want to tell you that LSU game was a lot tighter, and LSU cleans up a few things. Nussmeier dirts the ball or throws the ball a little bit earlier. They don't turn it over. He doesn't try to scramble when he's not that athletic and just takes the sack. But that guy came in untouched through the middle. If you watch that play where Nussmeier gets the ball stripped out of him, our guy runs through. The center's just sitting there. He should have picked the guy up and at least chipped him. I'm just telling you. It was a lot closer than it could be. I'm just glad that game's here. All right, so I wanted to make those comments, jump in, final thoughts, then we'll move on to the next topic.
I think a lot of these are name value, obviously. Ohio State's loaded, but again, nobody's really talking about their quarterback situation. You
That's a question mark.
kind of like Alabama a little bit. I mean, they got Caleb Downs coming back. They got, of course, Jeremiah Smith, who are
Yep.
both going to be probably top 10, top 5 draft picks.
No doubt.
Very good, but They have a question mark at quarterback.
No doubt. But
Georgia,
you just
how
get
good is
that.
Gunnar
Hey,
Stockton going to
real
be?
quick on Ohio State. You just throw the ball in Jeremiah Smith's area, and if you can get the ball in a 50-50 radius, he's probably going to win that matchup. So he's probably going to draw double teams to stop that down. And then can Julian Sain or whoever else starts at Ohio State distribute the ball around if people are keying on Jeremiah Smith, which I would do if I was a D coordinator. I would not leave him single covered. But okay, jump in there. You're getting ready to talk about a Georgia quarterback. Jump back in.
I mean, how good is Gunnar Stockton going to be? How good is Georgia going to be next year? I kind of look at the downfall of each team. I think Penn State will be good. Obviously, I think all these teams will be good, but I could see where some of these teams could maybe slip. I think Clemson will be good. I haven't really done a lot of research on Oregon. I don't know who their quarterback is. I'm sure they'll be fine, but
Here's what
who
I'll say
knows?
about
Oh.
Oregon. They went into the portal, so they went portal heavy, but that paid off for them last year, and they've recruited well. So they got talent. Dan Lanning's a good coach. I think they'll be good, but again, they got to prove it because they've had to hand the reins over to a new quarterback. Again, they got a question mark at quarterback. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame's got a new quarterback. Riley Leonard's gone. He's
Yeah.
in the NFL, so Notre Dame's got a lot of talent too. But again, question mark quarterback. We're going to find out. And then Carson Beck. Are you going to get the good Carson Beck or the bad Carson Beck? And Miami went heavy portal transfer as well. So I'm questioning how effective that can be. Although a good Carson Beck should have had Georgia in the playoff 2 years ago, but fortunately we got great play out of Jalen Milroe in that SEC championship game, knocked them off, and we took their playoff spot, which I loved.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, final thoughts on this top 10 from the coaches poll.
I think that's all I got.
All right. Next, just noting that we play Georgia and LSU. All right, let's talk about injury updates here. Lotsier Brooks, he's still nursing an injury. Good news is the wide receiver position, we're loaded. Don't have to have him. I think he is definitely in that mold of a Jaylen Waddle. I like his potential there, but we've got a loaded quarterback room. Injury update on Quay Rousseau. He's not participating right now, is my understanding. And I think Keon Sabb is limited in his participation as well. That's what I've got on injury updates. Any comments, thoughts?
I think Deontay Lawson might be kind of still not 100% back yet. But besides that, yeah, I think that sounds about right.
Pretty healthy for now, which is good. We want to stay that way. If we can stay healthy going into FSU, that's going to be key. We'll see. All right, Ryan Williams, not surprisingly, he's on all sorts of lists as a great player. Just a note there that Ryan Williams is on everybody's watch list. He's hyped. I love the potential there. He's a great player. He was great last year. Could have been better if he had a quarterback that would get him the ball more. But moving on. All right, let's talk about some other position updates. Jaden Roberts apparently is running second string, and maybe they're resting him some, but he's not been running with the first team recently. And I'm not sure whether maybe there's an undisclosed injury or they want to shore up Geno Vandemark and they want to get him and Cam Dewberry more work, and they're moving him around. But I thought that was quite interesting that Jaden Roberts, who everybody thinks is definitely going to start, was running with the second string, according to the reports I've read. So again, I think Geno Vandemark, Cam Dewberry are really, really critical for them to both be developed and ready to go for this team to be successful. And it's good to have depth. Thoughts on what's going on with the O-line?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I read somewhere that Cam Dewberry only gave up like two sacks at Texas A&M or something like that. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Jaden Roberts, but Vandermark's getting reps everywhere, so he'll know how to he can come in anywhere if somebody gets hurt, or if he's a starter, then he can just move around, so that's good.
And everything I've read is he's playing really well, and they're impressed with him. So good news, we'll see. All right. Couple of news notes there. People are raving about Cam Calhoun. Apparently, he's showing up and showing the kind of depth we have in the defensive backfield position. At running back, seems to me that Jam Miller, Daniel Hill, and Richard Young are leading the way. And then they're talking about Dre Washington also being impressive with, I guess, his vision and his ability to see the holes, which brings me back to Jam Miller. I was revisiting the Oklahoma loss, the Oklahoma debacle, if you want to call it that. And I don't know if you remember, but we got down in the red zone in the first half, and we had it first and 10 on the Oklahoma 11-yard line. So we get it to second and six, and then there's an RPO play, and Jalen Milroe pulls the ball. And there's a big hole there that he could have run up in the middle and probably gotten 2 to 4 or 5 yards on second and six and would have had third and short. But instead, he tries to kick it outside. His vision was terrible, and he takes a 4 yard loss. So we're back to third and 10. And then on the next play, they do another RPO and give it to Jam Miller. And Jam Miller goes left when there's clearly a big hole on the right side in between the tackle, guard, and center. And it was like Jam Miller didn't even see the hole. I kept rewinding it, looking at that film, and I'm worried about Jam Miller effectiveness to have that ability to see the right hole, hit the hole hard, stop, accelerate. Sometimes you have to hesitate a little bit and then kick it in gear to hit the right hole. A little worried about that. I hope he cleans it up this year. But if I can notice it, I know the other coaches noticed it. So I hope Jam Miller has better vision this year, ability to see the right hole, hit it hard, get up in there. I don't question that he runs hard, but I'm questioning his vision and ability to see the right hole and hit it. Daniel Hill, I'm telling you, he's going to be big on third and short, fourth and short, goal line yardage, just a bruiser. Hearing good things about Richard Young, Dre Washington. That's my comment on running backs. Any thoughts on the running backs, defensive backfield? And then we'll talk about Rico Scott. But give me your thoughts on defensive backs, running back. Any news, notes, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll be a stable. Jam Miller will get majority, but we'll go back to more of a traditional running game than last year. I think all of the running backs last year got 220 carries, and Jalen Milroe by himself had 168. That's going to change.
No doubt.
Ty Simpson will run, but they will not be designed runs, or for the most part. He can scramble. He's actually scored rushing touchdowns. He has not thrown a passing touchdown yet.
Name the
He
only
scored.
quarterback on the Alabama roster to have thrown a passing touchdown.
Name it. Who?
Who is the only quarterback
Oh, it's
on
Austin
the
Mack.
that's right. Who's the only quarterback on the Alabama roster that has
Austin
thrown a
Mack.
touchdown in a game for Alabama? And that would be Austin Mack. Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep. So I think that a lot more guys will see it. We'll see the ball, different scenarios. I don't know who will get most of the receiving work, but Richard Young, Daniel Hill, I think those will be your more bruisers, your goal line, third and short kind of guys, and Jamie Miller will be out there most of the time.
I do think that, as you talked about Ty Simpson, he can run the ball. He's mobile. He may not be 4.3 fast, but I think he's 4.6 fast. And I think he can run RPOs. I don't think they're going to be as RPO and quarterback run centric as they were with Jalen Milroe. And when Milroe was good, he was great. And when he was bad, he could make some big negative plays. And he also misread holes. It was unbelievable on that RPO. He had a big hole sitting right there, and he didn't see it. And he tried to tuck it and go outside. And Oklahoma was not going to give him the edge. It was brutal. All right, enough on that. Wide receiver, Rico Scott's really showing out from everything I've heard. I think he's getting a fair amount of snaps and running with the ones some and taking Isaiah Horton's place. So that wide receiver room is loaded. But I think Rico Scott is clearly going to be in the mix. And apparently he can flat out fly too. And I think he's bigger than Ryan Williams, and maybe every bit as fast as Ryan Williams. So he's gonna get a lot of snaps this year.
That it's going to be the best wide receiver core in the country, I think. Collectively, have the second best player in the country, Ryan Williams, just behind Jeremiah Smith, I will say. I think he's better than Cam Coleman. There are some people who say that Cam Coleman is better than Ryan Williams. I don't
Some
think
people are saying
anybody.
Auburn has better receivers than Alabama does.
No.
I want, they're going to have to prove it because we know we
No.
got proven receivers. We'll see. It's going to be fun.
But
Have faith in the Bama receivers.
a guy that I think could be, like a possession receiver who was good last year until he got hurt was Cole Adams.
Yeah.
He returned punts. He's the third and short on a little zip route or an out route and just catch it and get the first down. He's not going to run past everybody.
You mean Julian Edelman, right?
Yeah, that's what
AKA
he'll be.
Julian Edelman.
It'll be Tyler Lockett or Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola. But yeah,
Yeah.
he, I mean, it's just, and then there's only so much time in a game, and you got to have your studs out there for a long time. I mean, unless you're running four deep, I mean, there's going to be some guys that don't get a lot of playing time that are really good.
Well, I do think the nice thing is you send Ryan Williams deep, you send Jeremy Bernard deep or Rico Scott, you can pull them out and send somebody else in for the next play and have a fresh guy ready to go so that you're not always just burning those guys out so they can go hard every play. Because it's really important to be able to go hard every play so that people can't, oh, he's going half speed, it's a run play, you know? You want to have those guys able to go full speed. So having that depth allows guys to go harder in the third quarter and the first fourth quarters they're getting tired, or even in the second quarter. You know, you run 10, 11 pass routes hard in the first half and you get deep into the second quarter, you're tired. Maybe you need a blow. Sit out a couple of plays, then come back in. So it's nice to have that depth, assuming that those second string guys can catch the ball, run routes effectively, and fill in. So I'm excited about it. Yeah, I agree with you. Great, great wide receiver room. All right. Next thing, just a couple of recruiting updates. This Bear Fretwell flip from Georgia Tech, that was big. That guy's huge. You know, nice get. And Alabama's building a great recruiting class. So, again, to me, the teams that are going to dominate going forward are going to have high quality recruits. And then they're going to pay up with that NIL money to keep their best recruits. And then if they got a loaded room, hey, if you're bottom of the barrel, they're going to let Bama let those guys go. And then they'll fill in, you know, adding 2 to 6 key guys in the transfer portal. I don't think the recipe for teams to be great from 1 year to next is say, oh gosh, you know, we're really losing a lot of guys. Let's go get 11 guys out of the portal. I don't think that's a recipe to win the national championship. I think it's you got to recruit well, pay up to keep your best players, and then fill in with the transfer portal, not try to get a class of 11 to 15 guys. Again, we'll see how Texas Tech does. We'll see how LSU does. We'll see how Miami. But I did want to note that. And then apparently, Ant Davis is about to make an announcement. Bama would like to get him, 4-star guy, big mitt. And then overall, the 2025 recruiting class is pretty much full, from my understanding. So there may be a few spots left, but Bama's really knocked it out of the park on recruiting. So didn't want to note that. Comments, anything on recruiting or any other updates on that?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. All right. So here is ESPN noted the team concerns. And you know, we'll give ESPN some credit. They got some guys that know a little bit about college football. But here are the areas of concern that ESPN noted. Quarterback position. We talk about that ad nauseum. We're going to update that as much as we can, talk about where we are. But Ty's in the driver's seat. I'm a believer that Ty can do the job. But we do need to have that situation worked out before we go into Georgia, in my opinion. If we're still struggling to figure out who the quarterback is going into Georgia, it's going to be a long night, but we'll see. Pass rush, defensive pressure. I'm worried about the interior line. I'll keep harping on it till those guys prove it. I think we got some big bodies. I don't know that we have the depth, but we got to have that interior line be strong against against the rush to be able to also collapse the pocket and then maintain pressure. And then people like LT have to have better technique and not get quarterback hurries, but they need to convert those into sack. And that is technique. That is being disciplined. And then you're going to get those sacks. And then the O-line, we've talked about that, but just noting that that's an area that ESPN's harping on right now. Thoughts, comments?
Nope, yep, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I might not agree with the O line. I think the O line will be pretty good. But yeah, quarterback and the pass rush, definitely. We'll have to see.
On the O-line, we're believers in Wilkin. Wilkin's going to be the man this year. He's going to step up and he's going to take that step forward, make that jump from sophomore to junior year. He's going to be the man. We're believers in Wilkin. That O-line's going to be fine.
Center and left tackle will be really good.
All right, so to wrap it up here, unless you've got some notes you want to add after this, I'm just giving a little sneak preview update on FSU. So some notes come out. They had their first scrimmage. They said that the team executed well. They ran roughly 100 plays, complimenting Castellanos, who's talking a lot of smack. Wide receiver Deuce Robinson, they're big on him. But Norvell did note that they had too many self-inflicted errors, penalties, had some interceptions, some misplays. He noted that. Gus Malzahn, who again, he worries me. He's a good OC. Maybe not a great head coach, but he can be a great offensive coordinator. Worried about him. He's going to have them ready to go. He said that he liked some of the early execution. They have depth. And then defensively, they just noted that they pointed to penalties and misalignments. FSU's another team that went heavy into the transfer portal. So hopefully they're not going to be able to have that team chemistry this year. They're not going to be ready to go for Alabama because I believe it takes multiple years when you bring in classes like that to get everything together. I think Florida State, unless they lose a lot of players to the pros, will be better in 2026 than they will in 2025, but we're going to find out. But those are a couple of updates on Florida State. All right, thoughts, any comments on Florida State as we look forward to that game, that hot, boiling hot game in Tallahassee on August 30th?
Yeah, I think that this is the type of game, it's week one, it's at Florida State. I think this is the kind of game where Florida State might score first and kind of have some early momentum. I think they might score first against Alabama. And, the fans get into it, but I think eventually Alabama will pull away. But I think it might, be like, oh, a little scary at the beginning. So that's what I think. It's a night game, correct?
No, 2:30 in the afternoon. It is going to be boiling hot.
Okay.
3:30 down there. It's going to be 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern. It's going to be miserable down there. I had discussed with some folks about whether we wanted to attend the game. Nope, I'm going to sit here and watch it on TV in the air conditioning by the pool, not go sit in the boiling sun because the Bama fans will be on the east side of the stadium, whereas the Florida State fans and those teams will be on the west side, shaded. It's going to be hot. So, no thank you. I will skip that. One other thing I will note, DeBoer was not a great coach on the road. We suffered three bad losses on the road last year and then did poorly in the bowl, in the bowl game. So hopefully with another year under his belt with Ryan Grubb leading the offense, we're going to be better on the road. That does have me concerned. I am concerned about how they're going to play on the road, opening game in Florida State. But we'll see. I mean, if we want to get where we want to go, we got to step up. We cannot play like we did against Oklahoma. Cannot play like the defense did against Vanderbilt. Cannot be weak in the fourth quarter like we were against Tennessee. It's going to be a challenge. So, thoughts?
Nope, that's exactly right.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Will K, any parting shots before we sign off?
Just roll tide, and it's gonna be here soon. What is it, like 4 weeks, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. Yep. 3 weeks from Saturday. The season is underway. All right. Thank you for listening. God bless. Roll Tide. And we will be back talking to you again soon.